get that.
I made this one.
What do you mean you made it? Did you make me one?
No.
This stuff was all in the fridge, you know? I do like those things.
Hey, welcome to episode 123 of the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week we're talking Punisher. Just Punisher. It'll be punishing. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, this week.
So are you saying that every episode is a punishment to these people?
Well, they are. What did you call them? They're your infaminions.
Infaminions.
So anyway, they deserve to be punished.
Infa punished.
Anyway, we are going to talk about season one.
It's a lot of. I pulled the mic away.
Thank you for doing
that. Do everybody
that,
a favor.
Not to blow up the board.
Man, he grunts. He grunts really well.
He does. He's a grunter. Anyway, we're going to talk about season one of the Netflix original series,
that
The Punisher.
That just means he's getting really like hyped up, so pumped up.
The gruntings, the looks on his face,
yeah.
Just the way he emoted things. I actually took some notes. The one thing is I figured out what the Punisher's superpower is.
Okay.
He has more blood than human body can possibly hold.
The bleeding.
How he did not bleed out multiple times is beyond me.
It's not the blood, like a lot of blood. He just clots really well.
Maybe he's, well, he has a healing factor there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But I mean, gosh darn it. We're going to spoil. We're going to do spoilers. We're not going to do like major spoilers, but there will be spoilers. Just heads up there.
What would major spoilers
I don't
be?
Think, well, there's no real major spoilers.
No.
It kind of all went
this
like
is,
according to.
This is the conclusion of the story that was started in Daredevil.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it kind of went all according to plan.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like comic book goes.
Yeah.
With Bill Russo and Jigsaw into that. And
I was waiting for that. Yeah.
You know, there were a few times where it's like, it's going to happen now, and then it didn't, and then it's going to happen now, and then it didn't.
Yeah.
And then the way they paid Jigsaw off, oh, that was brutal.
Yeah.
So, did you never watch the Ray Punisher one, or the Ray, what's his name? Ray Stevens.
Ray Stevenson?
You never watched the Punisher Warzone?
Yeah.
So Daniel West? McNulty from The Wire? Dominic West.
Yeah.
He played Jigsaw.
Okay.
And he was awful.
Yeah.
And the makeup was horrible. And, you know, it was one of those things. So I was really happy they did this the way they did it.
Who's the best Punisher of the three movie Punishers?
The movie Punishers? Thomas Jane, hands down.
Dolph Lundgren.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually,
Dolph Lundgren actually played it like the Punisher.
Yeah.
Thomas Jane played like a caricature of the Garth Ennis Punisher.
Yeah. Actually, Ray Stevenson was a pretty good Punisher. It was just a bad movie.
Oh.
He wore the skull the whole time.
Right.
He had the battle van. He you know, had the big guns and that kind of stuff. It was just a really, really bad movie. All right, so this series picks up pretty much right from where he left Daredevil, hunting down the Dogs of Hell.
Yeah.
Biker gang.
Right.
And the Mexican cartel people who were responsible for the shootout at the carousel that killed his family.
Right.
So getting the bikers was one thing. The last guy from the cartel was
the
amazing, because it starts in Juarez, Mexico. Is the guy he
the
rolls
only
up.
Survivor.
I'm the only survivor.
The Punisher.
F the Punisher. I got away. And then, you know, you see Frank. He's got him in the sights with a Barrett 50 cal. And, you know, you hear the shot. And then, like, a beat later, you know, it goes through his head. And it does that zoom out thing, which was great. And it says El Paso, Texas.
Yep.
So I don't know. I didn't even look at the map to see how far
that would
Juarez
be like,
and,
a realistic.
Like if it's a mile or whatever. But
it's across a river.
Yeah. But anyway, it's across the Rio Grande, whatever it is. But I thought that was a great way to kick it off. And when he killed the dude in the bathroom in the airport.
Oh, yeah.
And And the guys were like, get a room, you perverts.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
That felt like it was something from Garth Ennis's run.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was.
So, it's
been
like,
a long time since I read that.
I felt like
back,
there
Frank.
Was a lot of like Garth Ennis in here. There was a lot of Rucka's most recent run, kind of with some of the things.
I had to read that one.
It was really good. Anyway, I do have to say, I expressed misgivings about The Punisher as a standalone series, as 13 episodes. I was afraid it was just going to be, you know, like when he killed the Irish mob in Daredevil season 2, right?
Right.
I was afraid we were just going to get 13 episodes of that.
Right.
And to be honest, this was nowhere near as violent as I expected it to be.
Well,
not
it wasn't
to say it doesn't have violence.
On Frank, too.
Right.
It was focused on the entire cast.
Right.
So
it's
Frank
a true
was just
ensemble.
Part of the story.
It
yeah.
is a true ensemble cast. And Micro
yeah.
was my favorite part of the entire thing.
Yeah.
He played John Quincy Adams in the John Adams miniseries
oh, really?
On HBO. And then he's also in a short on HBO right now with Elizabeth Moss
okay.
from Mad Men, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Called Tokyo Project, that's really good.
Oh, I've seen that.
Or
there.
Project
I
Tokyo,
it.
I don't remember
yeah.
which one it is. It's only 29 minutes long. It's huh. totally worth watching. So, yeah, there was much less violence than I expected. The Frank and Micro bromance was great as it went on. As you guys heard in the cold open, I pulled
yeah.
the sandwich scene out, which was both hilarious and like,
where'd
oh my God,
that?
What's he going to do to Micro? Yeah. as he's sitting there eating the MRE and Micro's chowing down on a pretty delicious looking yeah. sandwich.
Yep.
The supporting cast in this was great. If you look at, I have the list of the cast in the show notes and everything, but just from the reoccurring characters, we have C. Thomas Howell, Clancy Brown, Jeffrey Cantor, who returns as the editor of the Daily Bulletin.
Yeah.
Delaney Williams, who was in The Wire. He was the lead detective in the detective pool who was always giving McNulty a hard time. Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio. You know, just
Antonio?
What?
Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio.
Yeah, as we said.
Okay.
I didn't stutter, did I?
It sounded
asking.
Like you ran over it.
Yeah, I kind of. Well, that's a mouthful of a name. You know, it was one of these things where
say Madani's mom's real name.
Oh yeah, Shohari Ash. I can't even do it. But she was
I just wanted it's Shohra Agdashlo.
Anyway, she was on 24, and she's a really good actress.
She was in Star Trek Beyond.
She was in Star Trek
pretty,
Beyond. She was
pretty good role.
Which admiral was she?
She was in X-Men 3, The
yes.
Last Stand.
Yes, but that's
well, even Tim Gimmie.
Yeah,
that plays what's his name, Wilson's dad.
Yeah,
I mean he's been in everything. So,
I think of all of the Netflix shows when it comes to supporting cast.
Yeah, this was a strong one.
Even Micro's wife was really good. She did a really good job selling the heartbreak and missing
Jamie
him.
Ray Newman.
Yeah, she's been in some stuff, not a lot, but she did a really good job. You know, walking that line, like, hey, I'm attracted to this guy, but like, I still, I'm not over my husband yet. And,
right.
You know, I think he did a good job. I think they did a good job there, not making it seem like there was going to be a love triangle.
Yeah.
Because they very easily could have done the, you know, the whole triangle
thing. Well,
that's
not
where,
who Frank is.
Well, it's right. not, but like even inadvertently, you know, right. he kind of always shot it down. The other thing I'm really happy with is the way the Karen Page, Frank Castle dynamic is happening.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a lover thing
no,
at all. Not. It's a brother, sister, or like,
just it's
you know,
a protector,
mutual respect.
It's like the protector protecting the protector.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
she protected him, and now he's protecting
well,
her.
Well, as much as he's protecting her, she's protecting
yeah.
him, and it's this great symbiotic relationship where I think I would like to see them carry the character traits she carried through this movie or this series back into Daredevil, because she judges Matt so harshly for
right.
being Daredevil, but he doesn't kill anybody,
right?
And you know, she's all like, you know,
is it more
waving the second right, the Second Amendment up? Yeah. Well, I think there's that.
Yeah.
Because Frank is a creature is Frank. Of true. Yeah.
I'm gonna kill them all.
But God, the faces he makes when he's getting tortured and the dreams. His dreams were pretty messed up.
Yeah,
because they all start out like happy, and then all of a sudden, like the Thanksgiving dinner, when the paper hands start falling down, and then the strike team, whatever, comes in and wipes out both families.
Yeah,
and but the faces he's making, where it, like, you know, the way they're flashing to and from, was pretty cool. What were you thinking?
What do you mean? What was
I thinking? I mean, about the, just like, you know, what were some of the things that you liked? And,
like, that they weren't just making it a blood fest.
Right.
Because they could have went that way.
I think they showed tremendous restraint.
Yeah. I like the idea that this Punisher is affected by his military background as much as anything. That, you know, the Punisher that was in the comic books and is in the comic books served in the military, but they never like went into that background that much.
Because originally he was a Vietnam vet, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then he's since been retconned, obviously, right, to be
whatever war is the current war.
Or I mean, whatever, at some point, Captain
whatever
America,
incursion is the current incursion.
Yeah. Well, Captain America just keeps getting older and older too, right?
But he still fought in World War II.
Right. Yeah. But I'm just saying, he's at some point it's going to be he fought in World War II and now he's 150 years old instead of 80 years old.
Right.
Which is fine.
Yeah. But, you know, it was just nice to see that they did that and it wasn't just all mafia.
Yeah.
Mafia murdering.
It was a good balance with that. I did like how he made that little buddy at the beginning and on the construction site.
Yeah.
Donnie. And then, you know, came in and protected him when he walked away from the guy that was hurt.
Right.
But that was one of the, you know, the bully crew.
Right.
Like, you know, not that you can bully the Punisher, but, you know, the jackasses. But I did like how as he was beating that guy up, well, beating him to death, essentially.
Right.
He's like, where is this? Where are these mobsters? Because he went and just took them out,
right,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think the other thing is Lewis, right? Lewis Wilson.
Yeah.
I was left a lot of the time with his character, like, why are we focusing on him? Like, what are they going to do with him?
That they really, like, did a very good portrayal of PTSD from different perspectives. Because you've got Frank's PTSD, you had Lewis's, you also had Russo's.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Curtis's.
And Madani in a lot of ways.
Well, and Madani, yeah. But I think like the four that were actual soldiers that, you know, we got as the main meat of the story, I think they did a really good portrayal of how different people are affected by PTSD.
Do you think...
It was sad and scary at the same time.
It is. And so you can correct me if I perceive this wrong. I feel like the story of Lewis ended up being a cautionary tale about homegrown terrorism.
Possibly, yeah.
It wasn't in a preachy way, but in the way of, hey, we all need to step up and help support the military men and women who are coming home from war.
Even with Frank's
war.
Story, I think that there was a lot of that. You know, this guy is doing what he has to do, but he's not trying to hurt anybody who doesn't deserve it.
Right. Yeah, well, and he's
and said, I think that's where the story with Lewis got, where Lewis got it misconstrued and didn't realize that that was what Frank's story was.
Right.
He just assumed that punish everybody.
Yeah, just punish.
Yeah.
Punish across the board. And, you know, I think the way that Billy summarily just dismissed him from Anvil kind of added to it, where at first it seemed like Billy was going to help him.
What was the... You don't feel wanted by your military because you're done.
Right.
You're out. You don't feel wanted by the people you served, the U.S. citizens.
Right.
Because that's, you know, that's the thing. And now you don't, you're not wanted by this company who you felt wanted by at first. And now you got to go.
Yeah. I did like, though, the group that Curtis ran. I thought that was, it was a nice, like, change of pace. It seemed like the group meetings were always like that palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Before something awful happens.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, so you just
finished. I think it was the idea that the group was the voice of the story.
Yeah.
Even though Frank wasn't part of the group.
But he was.
What people were saying was stuff that Frank was experiencing.
But Frank would hang out kind of in the shadows here and there.
At the beginning he did, but otherwise he wasn't, because he was busy doing what he was doing. Right.
He's the best in the world at what he sleeping. Does.
Frank slept more in the show than he was awake.
You know, he was unconscious an awful lot.
He got shot up, blown up, shot up.
Shot with an arrow.
Yeah. He went septic at one point.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to get to the last Punisher's two episodes, but
superpowers John Berthel.
Yeah, man, like,
I'll take a beating and still come back from it.
So, like, I'll never see another actor as Deadpool other than Ryan Reynolds, right?
Yeah,
like it'll be hard.
Yeah,
I think it's hard.
It'll
for
be
people.
Hard with any of them if they recycle the stories and do a new story with new actors. It's going to be hard. But John Bernthal pretty much erases Dolph Lundgren, Thomas Jane, and Ray Stevenson from...
I don't feel like any of the Supermen have erased Christopher Reeve.
Nah.
You know?
He's still Superman.
I think there's valid arguments for all the different Batman that have been there. You know, whereas, like, Michael Keaton was our Batman cinematically, right? When the movies first happened... But
you could say Adam West was more my Batman than Michael Keaton was.
Well, I mean, because
I had watched
Batman
66
on TV.
Batman since I was a kid.
Every day after school at 4 o'clock, it was on Channel 19 or 45 or whatever it was. But you know, there is that
people who bail is the only Batman for them, and you know. Affleck did a really good job.
Thing. Right. Yeah.
But at no point do
DC's not really giving the generational thing enough time.
But at no point when it comes to like Superman, do you hear people turn around and be like, oh, well, you know, Henry Cavill made me completely forget about Christopher Reeve. They all get compared to him no matter what.
Right.
You know, Downey Jr. with Iron Man, I think it'll be really hard to see someone else in that role.
Yeah.
I think Sebastian Stan will prove that other people can play, you know, Captain America, not necessarily Steve Rogers.
Right.
But, you know, so that's a little different.
You can look at,
like Chris O'Donnell. No one can play Robin but Chris O'Donnell.
Which Chris is Captain America? Evans?
Chris Evans.
Okay. So Evans makes you forget about, if you've ever seen them, the Captain America movie from the...
Oh, yeah.
And the Captain America from the 70s. Right. So it's like, it's the same thing where it's like he'll be the one that people go, remember that Captain America? That's the one that everybody should
be. Compared to. Robert Downey Jr. will be the
one. Do
you
think Captain America is going to die?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So
I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't read anything about Infinity War. But anyway, the trailer dropped the day after we recorded this. So sorry.
What's today? Wednesday? Tuesday. So it's dropping on Wednesday, and this will be on Friday.
Yeah.
So hope you enjoyed it. We'll talk about it next week.
Maybe, if we remember.
We'll remember.
So the one thing I did have a problem with.
Okay.
Was Homeland Security.
A lot of people have problems with Homeland
Security. Well, I mean, not just Homeland Security in general.
Are you talking about this fictionalized Marvel Universe
version? Madani was one of the more worthless characters I've ever seen on a show.
Okay.
She's smoking hot. I thought she was a good actress.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they really... It seemed like anytime something bad happened, she ran to Billy. Right?
Oh, so at the beginning she was a strong,
she came
independent
in,
female
like,
character,
great balls
and then
of fire.
When she met Billy Russo, she became a weak.
Yeah, not weak necessarily,
weak
but
character.
Like less effective. Because it seems like there were things at the beginning she would have noticed had she not been swooning over the beautiful Billy Russo.
Yeah.
You know, the beaut.
The beautiful Prince Caspian.
Going deep there. Yeah, he was Prince Caspian.
Yeah.
He did such a good job. Anyway, but I'll get to that. But it was really hard to, like, root for her at all. Because she kept doing dumb things.
She felt like the Lois Lane type, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm not...
I don't have anything negative or positive to say about that character.
But that's the problem, yeah. Right? Like, you should either be like, man, I hated that character. She was horrible. Like, she
I
was,
think
she
I
was
felt
awful,
more
or,
for her wow. after her partner dies.
Sam. Right.
After he dies and she becomes more effective in the story. Like, she becomes more part of the story.
She does. I think...
She wasn't really part of the story. She was just the MacGuffin. Like, she was a MacGuffin because she was moving the story along.
Yes. She was a plot device.
Yeah. She was just, like, hanging out. Like, hey, and you meet... Oh, okay, I'll be in this scene now.
But she was so protected by plot armor. You know? You knew they weren't... You knew nothing bad was actually going to happen to her. You know?
Yeah.
The people around her were the ones you knew were going to suffer.
Is it the problem that she's a character that was just created for this?
But I don't have a problem with them doing that.
Yeah.
I think that's what they need to do more of.
Wow.
Is to create these other create an iconic character that you can bring in. Like, I'm happy she wasn't a superhero. I'm happy she didn't go vigilante, but at the same time,
she's gonna be Lady Punisher in season two.
Maybe, who knows? Well, again, that was a Rucka thing where he created a female version of the Punisher. Where Frank
there was a female version.
Yeah, right. No, I get that, but like Frank actually trained up a former Marine to replace him essentially, and then she went batshit, and you know they all do,
and then you have to take them down,
and then the Punisher has to deal with the monsters he's created.
The next season should be Frank and Punisher. When he became Frank, like a Frankenstein monster.
Franken Punisher. Oh, I love it. But no,
that was a story. That was a story.
Yeah, I remember.
Story.
I think the other thing, too, is you talk about when Sam Stein gets murdered by Billy.
Yeah.
Which was great. Who's pretty now? As he stabs him in the throat.
Yeah.
I think they did a complete disservice to the character where she was bedridden for a solid episode and a half.
Yeah.
And... again, like this person that we met, she comes in, she's all piss and vinegar about Kandahar and wanting to solve this crime.
Did it feel like they should have gave you a time frame as to how long this, like, you know, it seemed like her and Sam became really close really fast.
His hair, no, because John Barenthal's hair was the perfect judge of time.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, he had the long,
I love when
they called him a hipster, by the way, in the diner. He's like, I'm not a hipster.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you kind of look like a hipster, so He didn't cut it because
of that. Is that really
when
a hipster, like, I'm sorry, I'm out of touch with
we're
this.
We're not. We live in
I
the
I grow
suburbs.
My hair long like that sometimes. Is that a hipster thing?
I don't know. But
I just thought that was a Johnny thing. Yeah.
I mean, you've seen me. I grow my hair out from time to time. But
I have luxurious locks when I grow mine out.
thick hair, too. Yeah. Anyway. But no, so his hair was, it would grow. And it grew throughout the season.
Once he
shaved it, it started growing back in. So that's how I judge time. Like, okay, there's like 3 weeks of growth there or, you know.
So then that would, you know, but I'm like, you could do the.
They could have done like 1 week later or, you know, things like that.
Like what I was joking about before with Doomsday Clock November 22nd.
Yeah, they could have done like
Punisher War Journal is what they should have done.
Yeah, they could have done that timestamp like Punisher War Journal.
Yeah.
December 3rd, 2016.
Right.
You know, because it did start in 2016 and then hopped forward to, you know, current day. Yeah. But yeah, that the Department of Homeland Security stuff seemed weird. Agent Orange and Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio. Their relationship was weird, and you know, the timing there felt off. The way he lied to her, flat out.
It was the thing where, like, and they say it where he's old money, he's old America, and that. So it's like. there's this degree where you're kind of like afraid of him just because you know that he has his fingers in everything.
Right.
And even she seems afraid of him.
In a way, she did.
Yeah, but she, like, you know, is still his boss.
But would she have, do you think she would have, he would have been the one she went to be like, hey, you're my deputy ops or whatever it was?
Not unless he's holding something over her, which I think is the part they might have cut out or something.
Or it's maybe they meant to imply it and it just didn't come across. You know, let us know if you guys thought that that was something that came across. But
yeah, because she flips pretty fast.
Dude, at the end, she's just like, bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
I thought that was more unusual than anything, was her flipping as fast as she did. But it's like, she did not have, and I like that they said that. She had no political goals.
Right.
Anything like that. She just wanted to do the job.
She wanted
to keep things secure.
She wanted to represent the agency.
Right.
And
by keeping the Punisher out there, I think there's a better way of keeping things secure.
Yeah.
And that.
But,
I like that the ending kind of was like cliffhangerish without being a cliffhanger.
It was a completed story with, it was a hanging chad, if you will. If you don't understand that reference, go look at your past election history and you'll get there. I agree. Like, the end wrapped things up, but still left it wide, wide open.
Right.
The
Punisher will return in Avenger Infinity War.
Yeah.
Which would be cool.
You know, I think if any actor of the Netflix universe was going to show up in a movie, it would be Barenthal, because I think he's the only one who really does movies.
Yeah. No. Chris Cox.
Charlie Cox. What movie has he been in?
Stardust. And a bunch of other, like, British movies.
The British stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Stardust was not a British, that was an American release.
Yeah. That was a good movie.
I mean, I had Robert De Niro in that, in it, but, like, he's done, you know, plenty of movies. And that, the other two, Coulter and,
Mike Coulter.
The Night of Flowers, you know.
Finn Jones. He hasn't been in any movies. So, just randomly Baratheon.
Kristen Ritter would be a good one to show up in an Avengers movie,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think so.
Just because
she's a good actress.
They could pull the whole, she was an Avenger, but she don't remember it.
Yeah. Oh, you.
Yeah.
Hey, you, yeah.
What happened to you?
Where did you go? You walked out of that meeting, and you never came back.
Yeah.
Purple you owe man. Us 4 years' worth of dues.
Yeah. Purple Man. We had to get the Hulk to replace you.
Yeah, no kidding. So, hey, remember when you founded the Avengers with us?
Yes, exactly.
That's what the Infinity Stone's going to do. Jessica Jones will be
that's that new character
member.
That they're introducing, the one that was in Legacy.
Oh.
The one that looks like she came out of a Jim Lee Wildcats book or something. Yeah. She literally looks like she could be Zealot's sister.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There you go. All right. So the Frank Agent Orange comes to a head, right, with the last couple episodes to go. I think Frank does a really stand-up thing, sacrificing himself
to get the information out.
Well, but for Micro's family.
Right.
Right, for Micro and, you know, hey, we're going
to... Well, for himself, too. I mean, all the information that's given out, it's like Frank pretty much, like, you know, showed that I did this for this reason.
Yeah.
And this is the real reason why this got done.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's cool, because it's like he kills for a reason.
Yeah. It's not indiscriminate killing.
Yeah, he's not just, you know, going through blowing up stuff and shooting stuff and that.
Which is what I was worried about. And the fact that we didn't get that made me happy.
You got that in the first 10, 15 minutes of the premiere, and then...
But it was for a reason, taking out
the last bits of... The remnants of that. Well, but it was like, you know, that was the cool thing about the story, is that, you know, this has been going on since the end of Daredevil season 2. And it's like, he's done with that. Now what? And it's like,
yeah,
you
what's
know,
next?
Yeah.
And there was a lot that he didn't know that was happening. And, you know, as he discovered things. But the scene where Agent Orange is torturing him is brutal, man. That, like, just the beatdown he gives
him.
We
got a bleeder over here.
Yeah. You know, I do like when he spits the tooth out.
Yeah.
But then he just keeps bleeding out of his mouth. It's like, how did he not bleed out? You know? But I do have to say,
that wasn't all his blood.
Well, no, it wasn't. But so when he gets out, and the fact that Billy let him, gave him a fighting chance,
Yeah.
Like, I thought was really cool because Billy was not all bad.
No, I think he was.
He wasn't all good. No, but I think he wasn't all bad when it came to Frank.
Billy
and Curtis
respected Frank in a way that was, you know, villain respecting hero.
Okay. I can get on
but
board with that.
I think he, like, the proof that he is bad is when he goes in to see his mother at the home.
Yeah.
You know he's a bad guy at that point.
Like, yes.
That shows how bad he is.
Well, maybe his mom was mean and horrible.
She gave him up. Yeah. That's the only reason he's torturing her is because she gave him up.
Well, there you go.
But it's like, no.
That's not enough.
No, that's not enough.
Anyway.
But it was a terrible scene because it showed that actress like did a really good job of showing how much fear she had of her son.
Just terrified of
him.
But when he
pretty
he,
boy.
When he gives him the fighting chance, right?
Yeah. What do you think? Why do you think he did that?
Well, because he knew that he was the next one to die.
You think that was it?
I think he knew that Rollins was going to come for him next.
Okay.
That he was a 100% scapegoat in the mind of Rollins, and he was always someone who depended on.
So that was part of what I thought. But the main reason I think why he helps Frank to get loose is because he wants to take him on a level of playing field.
Okay.
And that was the way of doing it because Rollins was going to kill him.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Rollins was definitely going
to
kill him.
Yeah. And it's like Billy wanted to see how good he was against Frank.
Okay.
That's why that whole part of that story develops toward the end and like ends up being at the fair or the
carousel
where his family died.
Okay.
I like that they stuck with that.
What? Yeah.
Yeah, they stuck with
that. Oh, the carousel
that.
Was a major... It was a major
man.
Character, but it was definitely a character in this
whole... That's
been
like in the comic books forever. Yeah. And that...
They did a good job. I mean, they did a good job using New York.
In the What If book, there was a What If like one shot that was Punisher kills the Marvel Universe. That still was used in that story, but it was the heroes and they were at fault for the heroes and the villains were at fault for his family dying.
Oh.
But it was still the same setup, and it's like, man, they can use that however they want, and it's like it still works.
Yeah. No, you're right. So when he kills Rollins, though,
mm-hmm.
Agent Orange.
Oh, that's just...
Dude, the thumbs through the eyes.
Yeah.
Like, you want to talk about, like, worst ways to go?
Mm-hmm.
That might be number one on my list. Like, just someone poking through my eyes into my brain.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it now a couple times in movies over the last couple years.
Yeah, that seems to be a go-to at this point.
And, like... Oh, ever since it happened to Xander, right?
When he breaks his nose and like you see the makeup like shifted, they shifted his nose like sideways
just a
on
little,
his
yeah.
face. And I was like, oh, that's really,
oh.
And then when he puts his thumbs, you see the thumbs and I'm like, oh no. I'm like, here comes the eye popping.
Like when the mountain did it to the Red Viper, right? Like that was horrific.
Yeah.
This was terrifying
because
this isn't some mountain of a man.
Because they showed like the
yeah.
aftermath, and it was like what Madani's boss says. It looks like, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio says it looks like a train hit him.
Yeah,
and it's like, a train named Frank Castle.
And it's even worse because Frank Castle is not the size of the mountain.
Well, right,
it's like it wasn't like it was.
It was
pulled
just
the
that
head
anger.
Apart. It was just and it was the adrenaline.
Oh yeah,
and like, villains. Just 101 here. Just kill him.
Yeah.
Don't toy with him. You know, you can toy a little bit, but don't ever shoot them up with adrenaline.
He had a mat on for him because of the eye, blinding him in the one eye.
Yep.
Yeah, he just had a mat on for him.
Wow.
And this show, like we talk about Daredevil being 13 episodes and maybe being too long, and especially like Iron Fist and... Luke Cage, 13 episodes was too long.
Yeah.
Now, the 13 episodes of this didn't feel like 13 episodes.
It didn't.
And
it
you
could
know
have
why,
been 10.
You know why it didn't? Because there was so much going on that all these stories interweaving with each other, but being different stories going on at the same time.
Okay, so that's my next note, and this is a great segue, is I feel like they fixed a lot of the storytelling issues that they created with Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Yeah.
So they weaved that A and B story the entire season, right? In and out, in and out.
Writers of Punisher, thanks for listening to the Infamous Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate
you. No, I really do, because I felt like, you know, at no point did I go, oh, this is a boring...
I wasn't bored. I was really curious, and David and I talked about this when I was about halfway through.
Yeah,
and he had already seen it because he had to watch it review it for IGN.
Gee, that's a tough life right there. Hey, man.
Dude, he's got to stay home like a couple times in the last couple weeks just to watch TV.
That's rough.
You know?
That's rough. I'll tell you that.
It's a rough existence that man has. But he's killing it over there, and we love him. So, but I said, I don't understand the Lewis part. Like,
oh, see, and I was in for that because I thought I had two ways that was going to go.
Yeah.
I thought either he's going to blow up something.
Right.
I was like, he's going to blow up something, or that's where you're going to get Jigsaw. Well, and I thought that was going to be.
You thought maybe they were going to make him Jigsaw?
No, I thought he was going to make Billy Jigsaw.
So you know who that actor is, right?
He
was in 11-22-63. He was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Lee Harvey Oswald. So, okay, yeah.
So, like,
because I was sitting there and I didn't look anybody up.
Well, I remember him because he was so good in that.
I'm like, why is he familiar?
So I had him in my mind as like the Patsy.
Yeah.
And like, because
you thought that Billy was going to use him.
Yeah, I thought someone was going to use him. I thought maybe Billy or Agent Orange. I cringed a lot when he almost when I thought he killed Curtis with his own leg.
Right.
You know, that was rough. Not like I didn't cringe in a bad, like, oh, this is horrible storytelling. I cringe just like, oh, you can't beat a guy to death with his own leg. No, that's not.
There's
that's
a lot
not
of that. There's
do.
A lot of that in this show where it's like a lot of, man, it's like you don't turn away, but you're looking at it like,
well, they did a good job for the most part, like being kind of what I call Hitchcockian with the violence. Like you didn't see a lot of like. The bat, like when Frank was beating the guys at the beginning with the sledgehammer, you didn't see a lot of contact, right? I did love
how
he just
like
threw
the knives.
The
knives
pit.
You didn't see a lot of it going.
You would see the knife in, but you wouldn't see the knife going,
right?
Which is a very like Hitchcock thing to do,
except for Agent Orange at the end.
Well,
that was like a pincushion.
But that's where the violence made sense, right?
Yeah.
And the thing about episode 13, right? Is we had all of that.
Right.
And then we had the epilogue episode, which I felt like was 100% necessary in this particular instance. We haven't gotten something like that out of Daredevil.
Well, you had to wrap up everything.
Well, and they did. And like they wrapped up with them taking his DNA and fingerprints out of the database.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, you're free. You can go be whatever you want.
You are the Punisher.
Just don't be the Punisher.
No, they want him to be the Punisher.
I get it. But they have to say they don't want him to be the Punisher. I think if they do a season 2, they need to wait at least 2 years to come back to this story.
If they do a season 2, if they don't kill Karen and Daredevil, that's going to be the story.
So,
I really don't feel like there's going to be a season 2 of Punisher.
I don't think there will either.
I think that there'll be a Punisher showing up in Daredevil.
I think Daredevil and Jessica Jones makes sense for him to show up in those two shows.
Well, I think that Karen's going to die and the Punisher will show up at some point to take on Bullseye.
I think Bullseye is the next villain, right?
Right.
Is Karen going to take that Elektra place where he kills her,
He killed her in the Kevin Smith story.
Well, in the Kevin Smith one.
Yeah.
So is she going to go on and be the radio host, like the Angel of the Night? Like, you know, how is it? She going to have a podcast, you know?
No,
like,
I think the Angel of the Night
will that be her
that's
article?
Hellcat. What's her name? Is the Angel
Patsy
of the Night?
Walker,
yeah, Patsy Walker is the Angel of the Night at this point.
Okay.
That's the vibe that they throw off of that. One thing I have to say, I'm glad the Night Nurse didn't show up at all. Curtis was the Night Nurse.
Yeah. And I think, because she had no tie to the Punisher.
Right, yeah.
Her showing up, Rosario Dawson, as great as she's been as like the connective tissue for the other ones,
right?
Like Punisher does kind of sit outside of that bubble. It's Queens, it's not Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
You know, they did a good job making homage to some Spider-Man, you know, to Spider-Man existing necessarily, but to like, you know, because he was early on, Punisher was
Spider-Man villain almost.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you think about it, the battle van.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that getting upgraded.
Do you think that Micro will come back?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well,
do you think that Micro will come back because his wife feels like he has to be Micro?
I think she will be like, you have to help him. You have to help Pete.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to help this guy.
Yeah, it's pretty much like he's literally, like, you can see the story where Billy was his brother. Mm-hmm. And by the end, Micro was his brother. And
I think Micro explained it perfectly.
Yeah.
Every missile needs a guidance system.
Well, sure, yeah.
And that's what they are. They're a symbiotic relationship. Right. That, yeah, they did become very fraternal.
Right.
You know, but at like the end of the day, they need each other.
Because
Frank can't be effective without,
and Micro could do it from the basement of his house and be fine.
Or whatever, yeah. So he probably wouldn't do it from the basement of his house to protect his family.
I just would like to see that battle van have the computer and all in it. Yeah.
And like, I want it to be like the Spider-Man cartoon where he's like, battle van, drive, you know, like that kind of stuff. Like a self-driving battle van would be neat.
Yeah, but I mean, on a whole, this was, you know, one of the best of the Marvel Netflix series.
So I know, like, a lot of the people we're friends with didn't really care for Elektra in season 2 of Daredevil.
Who?
Oh, plenty. Like,
really?
Yeah, I don't want to, like, call anybody out. But, yeah, but there have been people, and there were people online who didn't like Elektra.
But, you know,
but anyway,
I liked Elektra.
I loved Elektra. Yeah. I think Elodie Young,
she did a really good job.
It's perfect. It was I felt like it was perfect casting.
Right.
She had the ninja skills down. She had the right, like,
just a martial artist?
She was. She was Jinx in G.I. Joe.
Right, but I think she had martial arts training before that. Yeah.
But I mean, she had the ninja stuff down too, not just the martial arts. And you know, she's still running around ideally.
Right.
But she really captured that, like, Frank Miller vibe.
Yeah.
Of Elektra, even though it wasn't necessarily the same, you know, origin.
Right.
And, you know, things happened in a different way.
Yeah, things are different they should be.
But if you look at, like, Jennifer Affleck, Elektra.
Oh, Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
At no point did I ever look at her as Elektra.
Nah.
It was like, okay, you're...
She didn't feel Greek at all.
Well, there's that. She had the horrible fake accent.
Yeah.
She has a very stiff way of doing martial arts and doesn't ever seem fluid or anything. So,
we didn't even mention that. Like, you forget about Ben Affleck's Daredevil because of the current Daredevil.
Right.
You do. Ben Affleck's Batman now.
Well, yeah.
So, you know.
So, David just texted me.
Yeah.
Happy is really good. We should watch it.
What is it?
Happy. The one with Chris Maloney? Maloney, yeah.
Okay.
It's the comic, the Image comic.
Oh, okay.
It comes out on Sci-Fi next week. So sorry, I didn't mean to derail the podcast.
That's okay. I haven't read that book, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. We should call him and throw him on. I don't know where the stuff is. But anyway, yeah, it's...
So where's your ranking? You told me. But
mine goes Daredevil season 2,
mm-hmm.
Punisher replacing Jessica Jones season 1 is number 2, then Jessica Jones, then Daredevil season 1, then Defenders, then Iron Fist, then Luke Cage.
Yeah, Luke Cage is at the bottom of my list.
Right.
Like, you know,
and Luke Cage isn't at the bottom of my list because I think Iron Fist was hands and feet, you know, our fists and feet above it.
Luke Cage is at the bottom of my list because of the second half of that.
The minute Cottonmouth dies,
yeah,
that story was done. Like, if you go back and you watch Luke Cage, watch up to the point right before Cottonmouth dies,
yeah,
and then stop watching. It's like Superman Returns.
I'd like to know watch behind right up the scenes, until, like, if he was just contracted for that amount of time.
He had to go do Moonlight.
Yeah,
you know, because that was shooting around the same time.
Okay.
But Alfred Woodard never felt like a villain.
No.
She just felt petulant.
Like
and petty.
A crazy lady.
Yeah. You know, I think they made a huge mistake not casting Iron Fist sooner to have him show up initially.
like the balance, see if the balance between those two was.
Yeah.
Which I think their relationship really was good.
They did a good job in the Defenders when they finally brought them together. But like, again, I think Iron Fist missed a huge opportunity not having Luke Cage when you had, you know, the Night Nurse in there and, you know, Claire Temple and all. But no, I think as far as this series can exist completely outside while being integrated in
as part of the MCU.
I think it'll be interesting.
These
maybe
are part of the MCU.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think maybe next time, if there is a season two of Punisher, which I'm not 100% sure that there will
be,
it did really well.
Yeah.
I mean, it, like, Marvel can be like, hey, we cost Justice League however many millions of dollars.
Right.
Not that I think that did. That's a whole nother story.
He seems like a character that will show up.
I think that's the best way to use him.
But, yeah, you don't need to do another series with him. We've got him at a point now where it's like he's a good recurring character.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like John Bernthal.
Yep.
But he's busy, too.
I want to see him in other stuff. That's how much I like him. Like, his little bit in Baby Driver was great.
Which
and I know you haven't seen it yet.
Got it on Black Friday.
Boom. like, in Fury, right?
Yeah.
He and Shia LaBeouf are the two redeeming factors of Fury.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a crap movie.
Right.
You know.
Which is kind of weird to say about Shia LaBeouf. But
Shia LaBeouf is.
Do it!
I mean, he's crazy. He's batshit crazy, too. But he's a good actor.
Yeah.
But no, you look at, like, The Walking Dead ever since he left. You know. The
Norman Reedus show.
Yeah, well.
High ranking.
Yeah, sorry.
Daredevil Season 2, Daredevil Season 1, Punisher, Jessica Jones, and Defenders tied.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Fist, Luke Cage.
All right. So out of 10, what would you give this?
8.5?
Yeah. I'd do 8.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But
there was stuff that I really liked about it, and there was stuff where I was like cringing at it. And
I think
it was just because
most
it's rough. It's rough.
The Homeland stuff I cringed about.
The stuff with the soldiers and the PTSD, because it's like, you know somebody. Everybody knows somebody who probably has that, or, you know, has experienced it at some point or another.
So
that's kind of,
I think Gunner was a really good example.
Yeah.
So, and that was a great episode. That was episode 5, I believe, Gunner. Which that was for me. Like, I was all in.
Right.
Like, I was all in from 3 a.m., the first episode. I really, really enjoyed how they represented him back to the Netflix universe.
Yeah.
And I liked, you know, episodes 2, 3, and 4. But episode 5 with Gunner is where I was like, okay, they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't even talk about the general when he stormed, you know, the army base.
Right.
And you want to talk about, like, him dealing with the PTSD. He even asks Micro, what do I do if I'm forced to kill one of these guys who's just doing their job?
Right.
I don't want to do that, you know, but I might be forced to.
Yeah.
I think that was a really important message where, you know, he is the Punisher. He's not just there to wholesale.
He's not a sociopath by any means.
He's logical. You know, which it's terrifying to say. That someone is so logical. But all right, I have one last thing.
Sure.
Is C. Thomas Howell.
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
Yeah.
I love that they drew Barry Mortem. you know, I like
that Drew Barrymore's a verb.
I didn't see it, like, you know, you didn't see that coming.
Got you Drew Barrymore, didn't you?
Like, well, yeah, right?
Yeah.
But they did, because they set him up where he was going to be the bad guy.
Where you're like, oh.
It's like,
is
he's
the guy?
He's that guy.
Yeah.
And then, no it's not.
No.
And the way Frank gave him the false sense of security that Frank wasn't in control at some point. Man.
I can say is I'm glad Spider-Man saved his son.
Yeah. Anyway,
told you I'd abuse you at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's all I have. I mean, I think it looked great. I think it had its own look and feel.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, you know, they all have so far. Jessica Jones has the purple tones.
Right.
Daredevil is dark, like we're blind.
Yeah.
You know, which is...
It's all
you
in know, shadow.
It's got that vignette around
it's kinda,
it.
Yeah, it's kind of in a shadow.
Luke Cage was very vibrant,
mm-hmm.
you know, with color, even at night. You know,
well, like, I mean, you lived in New York. You've been in Harlem.
Yeah,
Harlem is a very vibrant area.
It's,
so yeah,
it's wonderful. And
so the feel of that was what it should be.
And I thought
Iron Fist
was
iron.
Very, it was very bright and hopeful.
Yeah, bright,
but at the
bright,
same time,
but, like firm, and you know, the whole point of his fist is that it's hard and bright.
And we talked about the Defenders, how it did a good job marrying them up to come to a. You know, a color palette that was a mix of all
Whereas
four.
The Punisher's just gray.
It is. It's gray, but at the same time, it's like very, everything's clear. It wasn't grainy.
Yeah. Well, it's that whole idea that Frank is gray.
Yeah.
And sees things for what they are.
And
it's like, that's what you got to see was everything
and
for what it was.
You had like the characters who were like, you know, Mandani is good.
Mm-hmm.
She's good. Like, you know, there's no, what's the word I'm looking for?
The character and the job.
She's lawful good, right? And then you have...
Oh, you were going with the...
D&D.
Yeah.
You know, she's lawful good. And then you have, like, Agent Orange, who is, you know, whatever, evil.
Evil.
But, like, when he was there, the blacks were black.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was there, the whites were white.
Right.
And then when they would interact with Frank, you're right, it would, like, the tone would come down.
Yeah.
And I think it was a smart decision to film this the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
There was some of the first person stuff, which I'm usually not a fan of, which
right.
I think really worked. The drone shots were cool with Micro.
They did really well with the drone shots.
I just like a shout out to the cast and crew here. They did an amazing job having what should have been an ultra violent, just slog fest to get through to a really engaging
story.
You
were afraid that the blood was going to be knee deep. And
dude, I thought it was going to be like Dexter in the shipping container.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what it's going to be. We're just going to have like little kids, you know, waist deep in blood.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't. That. And yeah. I was very surprised.
It had more dramatos to it.
Dramatos.
Yeah. Let's get PBS here.
Did you mean gravitas?
It had a lot more dramatic stuff than you expected, and dealt with a lot of issues. I think
it made me like Karen Page after season two of Daredevil
because
I think she came not Deborah Ann Woll, but the Karen Page character came out looking like, you know, there's double standards.
Yeah,
and I think she did a really good job with Frank.
Yeah.
And again, I'm glad they didn't, you know, skew towards the romance side of things.
Well, right.
Because that's not really Punisher. I mean, like, I don't even remember him having a romance in the comics.
So.
You know, it's all about his wife and kids.
Yeah.
Vengeance. You know, like the Thomas Jane one, they tried to do that a little bit with him and Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah.
But that's just because, you know,
yeah.
That was that time where every superhero had to have a love interest. Marvel's done a relatively good job with that on the whole.
Right.
Right? Like, I think, you know, you look at Iron Man as an example. Like, he didn't really start a relationship with Pepper Potts.
He already had a relationship
with
Pepper
Potts. Well, but it was a working relationship. Yeah. It wasn't, like, a romantic relationship.
Well, I mean, he was flirty with her.
Well, but he was flirting with everybody.
You know. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't think they, like, push that as an issue that they need to have a girlfriend.
But, like, with, like, Batman, for example, right?
Yeah.
He always has to have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Except for in BVS and Justice League.
Because Catwoman's dead.
Well, it's because Wonder Woman is his girlfriend in Justice League.
Did you see that? Oh, that's an article in USA Today.
No.
You have to find that.
Okay.
Yeah. I read it, and I kind of was
like... because you had talked about it.
Well... this article was saying how sexist Justice League is compared to Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Like, it was written by a female, you know, and it's a compare-contrast type article.
Is it because...
where I was kind of like, I'm like, you looked at this movie totally different than a lot of people probably did.
They looked at it through a certain spectrum.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're reading into things.
And I'm not saying anything, you know, against that or for that, but it's like when I was reading the article, I'm like, yeah, I could see where you see that, but that's not how I seen it.
Right.
And
I'll track
like,
it down. We can talk about it next week.
Yeah, it was weird. If it's still in the break room tomorrow, I'll grab it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I read it today in the break room, okay. And I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, this should have been marked as like an editorial.
Yeah. And there was a lot of that.
Well, it wasn't marked as anything. And then the person who wrote it, they didn't put in a Twitter account or anything.
Oh, and so I'm they like, don't really stand by
just,
what they're
did
saying.
Did they just pull this off the internet from somewhere? So I don't know.
Interesting. All right.
I was kind of disappointed in it because there is a fair argument for, you know, how much better done Wonder Woman was than Justice League, but it doesn't have anything to do with because of the sex or anything, you know, the sex of the characters or anything like that. It's just how better written it was from my point of view.
I don't know. I thought Wonder Woman was dreadfully dull.
Wow.
I fell asleep in the theater.
Yeah.
I never do that.
You're getting old.
Maybe. I mean, I will be 40 in a couple,
yeah,
a little over a week. Anyway.
No, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, they're two different type of movies too.
Right.
So it's like, you can't compare and contrast a lot of that.
I had a lot of problems with just the way they did Wonder Woman in general, as far as not being that ambassador of peace and hope, but being the fish out of water.
In Justice League?
Yeah, well, in Wonder Woman.
Oh, in Wonder Woman.
You know, there were certain things where it's like, come on, she knows what this is.
Yeah.
They're not beautiful idiots,
right,
who fight with swords all day.
Right.
They are scholars. They are, you know, they have knowledge. Yeah. They are, you know, they are.
Yeah, it's kind of like the scene, and they mentioned this in the article, the scene where she walks in and Steve is getting out of the bath and she looks at him strangely. And they're like, they joked around about it in the movie. And it's like, you know, but then like she's wearing skimpy. They were complaining about her wearing skimpy clothes in Justice League. And I'm like, what, did she wear skimpy clothes at all? Or did she just wear clothes that are of the time?
Yeah. I don't
know. That's what I felt like. I'm like, you know, it's like she's not going to wear a neck to ankle dress.
Well, and she threw on that like scarf to cover up when she was talking to him, when she was hitting on Bruce.
But I mean, and that was something they acknowledged too. But my whole thing was, is like, you know, even though she looked at Steve the way she did, it's because she never seen a real man naked before.
Right.
She knew what she knew the parts. And the,
right.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully.
Well, if there was the love scene in there that was in there, then she hopefully knew what. Come on. Did you miss that part? Did you sleep through that?
Probably.
Yeah. When they actually like went into a room together, longingly looked at each other, and then the lights went out. Like, they literally show the building and the lights go out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Steve Trevor getting
it totally
on.
Missed that.
Yeah, that's anyway. In there.
Like, I've watched it since, but no.
It happens right after the...
All right, I'll have to go
right
check
after
it out.
The battle.
Okay.
When Captain America shows up and they're all fighting and...
Oh.
Yeah.
Now I know what you're talking about. I thought you were talking about on the island.
Yeah.
No,
on the island there was...
after No Man's Land.
Yeah.
When she knocks down the bell tower, which I still question how, like, you know, how people, like, forgot. Like, Men in Black showed up and, like, you know, mind wiped everybody about...
You mean, like, how people forgot... The Batman and because I mean the Batman's not mentioned in Man of Steel at all. No. So
DC,
you
know. I'm sorry.
I'm
of the mind, and I know this is okay. We're done with our Punisher talk. It's awesome. Watch it. You know. All right. Justice League rant time or DC rant time. All right.
You can stop at this point.
Yeah,
if
you can stop. I'm gonna rant about DC for a minute. They need to just throw it all out. Baby with the bathwater. All of it needs to go, and they need to start over. If they want to keep doing Wonder Woman,
I want them to keep the cast. No. At this point, I'm like, I'm happy with who they
are. Affleck's not going to do it. Jake Gyllenhaal's 5'5". He can't play Batman at 5'5".
No,
you have you said the perfect actor last week.
Yeah.
Armie Hammer. But anywho.
But right. No, I enjoyed Ezra Miller.
I
was kind of leery
about
him.
I don't think he can carry a Flash movie by himself.
Well, no, they don't have to do a Flash movie.
Well, they shouldn't. They shouldn't do a Cyborg movie either.
No, they don't have to do a Cyborg movie. You do a Titans movie, like we said. That's all you got to do.
I tell you what,
I do want the Aquaman movie though.
Here's a few characters I want them to stop trying to make a thing. Okay? Yeah. Number one, Jubilee.
Nightwing.
Yeah, don't make Nightwing a thing. Don't ruin him.
Well, they already have.
I know.
I mean, they've done it.
I know. All right, Jubilee. Stop trying to make Jubilee a thing. It's not going to happen.
Oh, because she shows up in almost every X-Men movie, but never has anything to do.
Cyborg. Cyborg is a Teen Titan. He's not a Justice League member.
Booyah!
Stop making it trying to happen. Green Lantern. All right? You can't do it.
No, you can.
Unless you do John Stewart, stop making Hal Jordan a thing.
You could do Hal Jordan. No, maybe.
Stop making Hal Jordan trying to happen. Mm. The entire generation of kids who are now young adults going to movies grew up with Justice League Unlimited. John Stewart is their Green Lantern. Warner Brothers needs to understand that and get over the Hal Jordan infatuation that is so far up Jeff Johns' butt. You know, they need to move on. And
yet
speaking
you like Doomsday Clock.
speaking of Jeff Johns, Jeff Johns needs to be a thing. There, stop trying to make happen as far as a movie executive.
Yeah.
You know, Jim Lee is a publisher. Stop trying to make it happen. It's been going on for 5 years now. It doesn't work. Dan Didio is a publisher. Doesn't work. Move on. Diane Nelson, figure it out. You're the president.
What is she,
get it
what
done.
What is her title?
She's president of DC Comics.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe DC Inter. No, well, that's Didio and they're the publishers.
Oh, they don't call it editor-in-chief?
No.
That's Marvel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the story about their new editor-in-chief?
Yeah.
Where he was a Japanese man? Did you see that?
No.
Oh, you got to go on Bleeding Cool and read that.
Well, I mean, I know who he is. I follow him on Twitter. He's been their talent scout forever.
Cebulski?
Yeah.
He used to pretend to be a Japanese man writing. This story is awesome. When he worked he's lived in Japan off and on since he's been 20. He was a manga editor at one point. He
brought all the manga stuff.
Everybody
to Marvel.
Knows
yeah.
that. He wrote, and I'm dying to go back and dig through my books and see if I can find some of these. He wrote some of the Transformers that Dreamwave published. He wrote Marvel manga.
Right.
He wasn't supposed to be doing this.
It was under pseudonym?
Yeah, he was under a pseudonym, and it was a Japanese guy. Right. And people were like, people played along with it to the point that they said, yeah, I met him.
Because they didn't want to be like, I don't know
who
that is.
Like, he finally told Bleeding Cool, because Bleeding Cool's been doing an investigative... Bleeding Cool's been investigating this thing since like 2007.
Nice.
And finally he told him, yeah, I was that guy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's like, that was one of the best written Bleeding Cool articles I've read in a while.
Yeah.
Because it was literally like, this is all the stuff we had. This was pointing in this direction. And then we were misdirected.
Nice.
Like, they literally admit that they were misdirected because people were like, yeah, I met him.
I met him.
Didn't you see him at that convention? He was there.
Just at NYCC.
Like, Mike Martz, like, literally said he knew him. He had seen pictures of his Godzilla collection.
So were they just messing with the press? Or was it people like, did they know it was CB?
Keep CB's butt covered.
Okay.
And CB finally stepped down from what he was doing and then came back and got, like, however he had his contract was he could write.
Oh, okay.
Because he wasn't supposed to be writing because he was talented.
Right.
He
He's
was
a talent scout. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was scouting himself.
That's awesome.
And it's like, but then like the Transformer stuff, I'm like, really? It's like, really? You used the Japanese name to make it sound cooler.
Yeah, that's
because
funny.
He was working with Pat Lee.
Yeah.
Who, you know, destroyed his career.
But anyway.
It's a good article. Go on Bleeding Cool's website.
Check
and,
out.
Yeah, check
so
it out.
So I
got
to go check out the Wonder Woman article on USA Today. And the
yeah, that thing, yeah.
Hey, news bites at the end.
It didn't make me mad. It was just one of those things where it was like, I'm like, literally WTF.
Yeah.
Like literally sitting there going, huh?
Do you ever read some of this stuff and wonder, what were you watching?
I would love to get into their mind and see what they were watching.
Because I'm sure, like, people, like, we say things where people are like, I'm sure, you know, what are they thinking?
Those assholes.
God. Those infamous podcast guys. I should follow them on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
And put money into their Patreon.
There you go.
Boom, I got the Patreon this time.
Boom. Booyah. Yeah, it's... I don't know.
You know, it's one of those things where everybody's got an opinion. I understand that.
Yeah.
I've been around in this stuff forever, and it's one of those things where, but it's just becoming more aggressively angry.
So
against nothing.
So I've told you for years, the reason that I don't like other nerds for the most part is because they have no ability to see someone else's point of view.
Yeah.
Like, I am not so locked into my opinions on comics and movies and stuff that my mind cannot be changed.
Right.
You know, I liked Justice League. Justice League made me appreciate Man of Steel more.
Okay.
Right? That's a good thing, in my opinion. But at the end of the day...
Especially since you hated that
movie. I hated Man of Steel. Like, I was like, you know what? I want to watch this again. I went on iTunes and bought it. It was like $10, you know? I'm sure you could have lent me the Blu-ray, but you know, I needed instant gratification, and nobody was up yet, and I had like a solid 2 hours before anyone was waking up.
I have them all.
Yes, you do.
The Fantastic Four. I was going through the stuff the other day, and Pam Forstig like was there, and Elva was standing there, and she goes, "Is that that movie?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's that movie." She goes, "So why did you buy that?" I said, "Because it was really cheap." I said, and I will never watch it again.
Did you watch it finally?
I watched it once.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
I couldn't even talk about it.
No. All right. So back to my point, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there are people in our community who just refuse to see another person's point of view or respect an opinion that's different from theirs.
Sure.
All right? I'm sure I could be class. I'm sure someone out there is like, oh, he's just a Marvel apologist for the movies. But.
Oh, okay. You know, I get that.
But I like the Marvel movies. Sure. But I don't expect anything from the Marvel movies because I didn't grow up reading a whole bunch of Marvel characters.
Tell me what I am.
You're
I don't know.
Valiant apologist.
I'm a Valiant apologist?
I don't know. You're very well-rounded with yours.
Then what I tell people at work is true because I deal with a lot of like crazy stuff at work. I'm the diplomat.
Yeah. Like in my day job,
right?
Like people come to me, they're like, hey, use this tool, use that tool. I am like 100% tool agnostic, right?
Right.
Like, I don't care. Like, if it helps me get my job done, I'll do it.
Sure.
All right. When it comes
Meanwhile,
to comics,
I'm dealing with a bunch of tools.
Right. Well, anyway, when it comes to comics, I'm wearing a Blue Lantern shirt right now. I wore a Flash shirt yesterday. I identify
Do you wear the?
I'm a DC guy, right?
Yeah.
So I actually expect something
Those movies. You've said that before.
And I have piles of DC books around this office.
I burnt all mine.
I have very few Marvel trade paperbacks, right?
Sure. Yeah, well that's the truth. Yeah.
You
have a lot of Batman trade paperbacks.
Well, I love Batman. Right. I love the whole Bat family.
Right.
Like I love Green Lantern.
I just have a lot of trade
paperbacks. It pains me that I'm not getting a Green Lantern book right now because I hate them all.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't read them, so you probably don't even know. Anyway.
I look at the covers of them now because I still get them just because it's a habit. It's a bad habit. And I look at the covers and I go, what the hell is going on in this book?
I went
book?
From collecting 2 decades worth of Green Lantern to not getting it.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
That's something, right?
That sucks.
Like, I gave up on it.
Yeah?
Which, again, like, I could have just kept dropping $3.99 every 2 weeks or whatever, $2.99
so
every 2 weeks.
Should I, like... I don't even know what numbers they're at, but should I just cut it off at 50?
Maybe.
Or
that's
60 or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Just be like, stop spending that money on that book.
Like, I'll be honest. I've gotten more Marvel books over the last couple years.
Yeah.
Because, one, I liked.
Right.
Like, I liked the reintroduction of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure.
I enjoyed.
Stop being an apologist for yourself.
Well, but I enjoyed Superior Spider-Man, right?
Right. Well, like, and Superior Spider-Man, like, I'm not a big Spider-Man fan. I enjoy Spider-Man and I understand the character. But Superior Spider-Man took that character and went a whole different way. And it's like, that's what I like. I like when they change it. Like New 52. My disappointment with New 52 was they didn't really do anything to anybody.
No.
They just made them a little bit more violent.
They made them violent. They killed all their parents.
You know what I want to say they did? They made them Marvel. They made them Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah, they literally made every character Marvel because they killed parents off.
They killed all the parents.
Yeah, and
we're going to do a Dads and Fridges episode soon because...
Dads and Fridges?
No, Dads and, Fridging Dads.
Oh, okay.
You know, because
usually girlfriends.
Yeah, but, like, more dads have been killed than girlfriends push the superhero story on. Anywho, and that's not
Captain
a sexist
Kirk's
thing, and that's not taken away.
Die.
What?
Captain Kirk had two dads die in the J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
I just thought about that.
Yeah.
He killed both of his dads.
Both of his dads.
God.
Anyway, Bruce, his dad dies, comes back, dies, comes back, dies.
Spoiler. I didn't read that story. I didn't finish that story.
Anyway, but back to my main point, and I'll finish it out here because I keep getting on tangents. I think that when you're reading things like that Wonder Woman article, which I'm definitely going to read,
yeah,
like people form these opinions and they refuse to see it any other way because it's that Sith-like absolute mentality. This is how I perceive this art, so this is
the
how
way
it
the
must
universe
be.
Should be.
Right.
Comic book writers fall into that problem too sometimes.
I mean, Bendis has fell into that trap. He fell into that trap with Jessica Jones. That's why after issue 20, the book was garbage.
Yeah.
Because he should have ended it at issue 18.
It was garbage, America.
It was a dumpster fire, you know?
America. It's a dumpster fire, America.
Anywho. All right.
And on that note.
I'm
going to
get off of my soapbox right now.
We're starting the best of.
So we are going to start the best of 2017 episodes.
Best of comics. Green Lantern will not be on that list.
Well, there will be a hotly contested
there
book.
There might be something Green Lantern on that list, but it will not be Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps.
It will not be Green Lanterns.
Green Lanterns.
Because Sam Humphries let me down.
I knew that was going to happen.
I love Sam Humphries, and he...
You love him because of an independent book that he did. He's working for a company now.
No, I loved him on... I loved the Marvel stuff that he did.
Yeah?
Like, yes, Higher Earth was amazing.
Right.
It was amazing, and it should have been more than 11 issues, or 12 issues, or whatever it was. It
America.
Was amazing. But that being said, all right.
All right,
yeah,
America.
So we're gonna do comics, then we're gonna do TV, and then hopefully I think I've done the calendar right.
Did you
Star
space
Wars.
That for Star Wars?
I don't know because last year Star Wars came out, Rogue One came out after we did our
Wait
best
a minute.
Stuff.
What is this week?
But
the first is Friday, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got comics will come out on the 8th. Yes, you did it right this year.
Woo-hoo! So
that'll be your Christmas gift will be the movies.
Yeah. And then we'll do
and
what
I'm taking
we're
next
looking,
year off.
And then we're doing what we're looking for forward to in 2018. So
when are we
speaking
doing that?
Of the last week of the month.
Oh, okay.
So anyway. So speaking of that, if you guys have things that you want us to talk about next year, start emailing us at contact@infamouspodcast.com. We have some other cool announcements that
if there's things
made.
You don't want us to talk about,
yeah,
tell
that
us those too, because I might talk about them.
So, but we also have another kind of exciting, like podcast related thing to talk about next week that I'm just not ready to talk about this week because the back end stuff isn't set up.
Still comics related too,
but it is comics related. So anyway, all right. On that note, thank you for listening. Thank you, Daryl, for continuing to be a Patreon subscriber or
if you made
patron.
It this far. We appreciate you.
If you made it this far, you should absolutely sign up for our Patreon because you get episodes early.
Yeah.
You get episodes or you have the ability to get your name shouted out on the podcast. Again, shout out, Daryl. And if you do the right numbers of things, Johnny will make you a collage or we'll send you a free T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm just thinking about those collages, man. Like, geez.
Well, nobody's bid that far yet, so.
Yeah. How far is that?
I think it's the $5 tier.
You can't put $5 in on this thing? Come on now.
Daryl. So, well, if you do the $10, I think it's you only have to do the $10 for like 3 or 4 months, and you get a free T-shirt. So, anywho.
And it'll be any T-shirt I pull out of my closet.
No, it's an Infamous Podcast T-shirt.
I was going to send somebody a Green Lantern T-shirt.
Okay.
Homage.
Homage. All right, guys. See you next week.
Later.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies,
TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.